live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 184. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, what's going on, dude? Is it April or is it October here in the Circle City? Because, dude, I thought I was good. I just run out here and run up my windows, man, because of the downpour. But, like, dude, it feels like April showers, man. I thought October was supposed to be a little bit more cooler. You know what I'm saying? A little bit, you know, not so much rain here. What's going on in Circle City, dude, with this weather?
Yeah, it's the times are changing, but I think it does not feel like fall right now, one bit out there. But definitely ready for I'm ready for a little bit of colder weather. I'm ready for the holidays.
I know you got a couple things coming down the pipeline. I ain't necessarily ready for no snow now or ice. I know how brutal Indiana, you know what I'm saying, winters can be, but. Regardless of all that, man, what's the rundown for? I know there's people listening, like, man, what do you guys talk about the weather? Man, what's the rundown for tonight, dude?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the we're going to talk some college football recap and preview for this coming week. A lot of games to talk about from this past weekend. NFL, Colts, Dolphins recap. The Colts finally be able to get that first dub. We'll talk that in a little hindsight. Bucks Patriots, that game, kind of what we thought and what we actually got out of that game. We'll talk about it, but we'll talk some of the Urban Meyer drama that broke the other night. It was crazy watching that play out live on Twitter once it started breaking. I know, I think I started sending you screenshots as soon as I started seeing it all over the place. So we'll talk that. MLB, John, the postseason for MLB has begun, so we'll break that down, last night's game as well as tonight. I know the King of Trolls has got his Dodgers out there tonight, so somehow he's a Dodgers fan. I still don't know how the hell that happens. Talk about bandwagon, that's probably him with his Lakers and Dodgers, you know. Secretly, he's an old LeBron James closet fan. We all know that. And then NBA, John. NBA season has started. The preseason has begun. Pacers, Knicks last night at the Garden. We'll talk that as well in a little bit more on tonight's show. Speaking of the Garden, John, I cannot wait. I will be at the Garden in December. First time going to the Mecca. I had a choice, John, of two games to see. It was either the Pistons against the Knicks, or it was going to be who was the other? The Wizards at the Knicks. I chose the Pistons. I'll see myself another Cade Cunningham game at the Garden, at the Mecca. See how against them, the number one pick. So looking forward to that. But until we get to then, John, let's dive right in. College. Actually, let's go pro. Let's go pro. Yeah, Tanner's supposed to call in tonight, I think. So we'll go pro. Indianapolis Colts beat the Miami Dolphins. I think it was 27-17. Colts get the win. Jacoby Brissett under pressure. Looked like the Jacoby Brissett of before in Indianapolis. Colts got it done, John. It didn't look – I mean, it's not like it didn't look ugly at all, but there were some spots where it needed a little bit of improvement. But overall, the Colts got what they needed, and that was a W kind of leaving Miami.
Right. I know going into the game was a whole lot of speculation. Seemingly with two 0-3 teams. Dolphins the week prior had kind of shown some life, even though they took an L against the Raiders. So it was a lot of uncertainty on what kind of, you know what I'm saying, what was kind of going to happen. What the coach did basically, Brandon, was pick on what the Dolphins are terrible at, and that the Dolphins are terrible at run-stop defense. The Dolphins need an edge rusher. The Dolphins need better linebacker play, I would assume. And we all know they need better QB play too, but defensively, like I said, those are their biggest loopholes. to their team. And like, hell, Jonathan Taylor ran, I do believe, for over 100. I want to say 113. I do not, shame on me, Brandon. I do not have the notes right in front of me, but I do believe he ran for over 113 yards or so. So again, that's just that. He was just a highlight of the running back core. I know, as I know, Hines got into it as well. I can't, you know, everybody. I'm always super critical of Carson Wentz's quarterback play. It has, you know, saying him being hurt or him being connected has kind of shown on the field. We didn't, that didn't necessarily happen. I do believe the Dolphins did two sacks on him, but those were two other sacks, and then but it didn't necessarily affect the entire game or the entire flow of the game, entire flow of his game, I should say. So, thirdly, you know, say again, the special teams, you know, saying the fumbled punt by the Dolphins, and the coach took advantage of it. So again, and then also in the strip sack he got a fumble recovery by Darius Leonard, I do believe,
yes,
as well. So again, man, you know, all those things an NFL coach will tell you that you got to do. You got to win the turnover battle. You got to, you know what I'm saying, you got to have an A-plus in special teams and an A or B on offense, and that's what the coach did, and they came out with the victory.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't get to watch much of the game Sunday, but I was able to kind of go back and watch the condensed version on NFL Game Pass. And, you know, as you said as well, and we've talked in previous weeks, for Wentz to have the passing room and the passing opportunities, that run game's got to get going. Jonathan Taylor was finally able to get out and run some. Naheem Himes wasn't really used too much until late in the second half, if I remember right. You know, they just kind of stayed with Jonathan Taylor there. But overall, hey, you got what you needed. You got a win out of it. You're now 1-3. You've got a Monday night game next Monday at Baltimore against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I think the spread right now is 6.5 or 7 right now for the Ravens, which I would, if it's 7, I would definitely pick that up. Colts plus 7 right now. I've seen some books at 6.5. So if you can get the 7 points, go ahead and get that 7 now with Indianapolis. I think they can hang in there with Baltimore. I think they do better, John, and you just based on their speed guys on defense, I think the Colts do better against a running quarterback than they do really a pocket passing quarterback, which is weird. Typically you do better against the pocket passers than you do the ones that are versatile and have that dual threat.
Right. With Lamar, they got to just think containment. And I think I said that last year, and the way Harbaugh, they don't necessarily disguise it. They know it's coming, but they kind of disguise it in their run attack. I know it's going to be terrible what I'm saying. You got to put hits and get to the quarterback against the Ravens. They do have optimal protection there in Baltimore, but with Lamar Jackson's high player usage, I know, as you know, and as well, you know, I'm critical of his play as well. Even though he's been an MVP in this league, he can put it on the turf from time to time. He will throw interceptions. I do believe for starting quarterbacks, I think he got like 6 or 7 interceptions already this year. You know what I'm saying? Now, albeit it hasn't necessarily cost them, put them behind in the one loss column too terribly. But again, his high player usage is something that teams should prepare for and also be ready to take advantage of. If that kind of makes sense, you know what I'm saying? So he'll get the good blocking that he normally gets. But you just got to kind of weather the storm on that. I think if you're a coach, you got to kind of weather the storm on that. He is the key. Even though the Ravens are a quality defensive team, he's still the key, and limiting him from getting to the score. However, his ability to get up and down the field is how you're going to beat the Ravens. So if the Colts it's not going to be the same way they beat the Miami Dolphins, right? But the Colts can control again the time of possession as they did with their running game. and Carson Wentz, who hasn't been a great turnover machine. As a lot of people, I don't think he's got over two interceptions this year, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen. But you feel good about going. You feel good about going against the Ravens this year. Ravens given the fact that the Ravens have their issues with player personnel, either due after COVID or other injuries. You feel good about if you're a coach. Going against the Ravens this weekend.
Yep. Looking at the Ravens, opposite of them, the drama with the Ravens. Vic Fangio upset that the game was pretty much out of reach and pissed off that the Ravens ran and continued the streak of 100-yard rushing when they should have just kneeled it down or whatever. John, do you have a problem with that? Or is it just football? Or you know what? Hell, you should have just stopped them point blank. What's your thoughts? To me, it is what it is. It's a cheap-ass way, but, hey, you know, to me, Ravens are going to Ravens. That's just scumbag Baltimore. That's just typical. But I don't care. It is what it is. Stop them if you're going to complain.
They just wanted to get the record. I don't think they weren't even trying to score. I don't think.
Right.
It does seem a sort of Bush League because the game was, kind of out of, they was clearly that the Ravens were going to win. I think Denver's coach is just, pissed at his old employer more so than anything, and the way they were conducting business that particular day. It does add, I like it because it gives us great, colorful media sound bites. This feels
right.
Fiery. Compared sometimes with the NBA. I love the NBA, but sometimes it's too much of a handshake league, and guys are buddy buddy too much. Through the course of the game, it's still good to see that in sports there's still somewhat of a distaste among the competitors out there, and that's kind of what it was. Denver had like seven starters out or seven players out for that particular game. I really think that game goes a different way if they had their full staff. Again, the Ravens are playing well. They beat competition. I mean, we all know the glorious, can you call that field goal kick a Hail Mary? Whatever you want to call it, man. They won
right.
games, when they needed to. But like I said, it's not like you're watching an unbeatable team at all.
Right.
It's not like you're watching, who looks the best in the AFC right now would be, between the Chargers and the Buffalo Bills. So again, man, I liked it. Like Denver coach, you can say his calling his former employees or Harbaugh's ways of doing things Bush League. But again, they wasn't trying to stop it. They wasn't running up to the line to try to stop it. They felt the Denver players kind of felt the game was out of hand themselves. So be kind of mad at his players for not, acting in a timely manner to stop them from getting whatever, who really is going to remember, that they own the record. It'll be some Monday night or Thursday night, a little stat that somebody will come up with. Remember, and then that'll kind of be the end of it. So, but
right.
It's kind of good to hear that the team still, can dislike one another.
Okay.
Uh-oh, we got bagpipes.
The bagpipes are playing, John. I said it last week, and I'll repeat it one more time.
Oh, wow.
We just need to cancel the season. The travesty that's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, John, they look like it's week four. We look like we quit. We look like we've quit already. Not the defense, but the offense.
Right.
And everybody just looks like they've quit. Tomlin has not quit. The defense hasn't quit.
Right.
Everybody that's affiliated with that offensive line and the wide receivers has quit. Najee doesn't look it. Ben says he's not quitting, and I feel like he's not quitting. He says he's got a hip injury that's affecting him, but I don't know. John, I watched that game. against Packers, and I told you we were going to lose already to the, against the Packers, which was not, it was expected.
Right.
But
you can see, yeah.
John, I have four. I have a few concerns. Number one, there's plenty of plays where it's third and four, third and six, third and seven, or fourth and five, whatever, fourth and 11, third and 11, and we're doing these little check down passes to the wide receivers on these screen plays for 4 yards, 3 yards on third and 11s, third and eights. We're not even close. We're not even close where you need to get to the sticks. The check down craziness that's going on right now with the Steelers, I don't think it's as much on Ben Roethlisberger as everybody's putting it on, as much of this offensive line not giving him time to throw. Do you realize he has right now the quickest release in the NFL this season through four games for a quarterback? They did nothing to address the offensive line. They lost three offensive starting linemen this year, two to other teams, and one retired, all-pro Marquise Pouncey.
But
this offensive line cannot block for him, and he's just having to get it out. Can he throw deep? Yes, we saw a few plays where he's thrown deep, but I don't know if the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, are just drawing up these screen-ass plays for the second straight year in a row because he knows this offensive line can't block for Ben. Ben took some shots in this game as well. And, John, I'm not happy watching the offense anymore out there. I'd rather watch defense out there, the defense, than the offense. It's very concerning as a Steeler fan. We're not used to this. I know that kind of sounds like, oh, well, woe is me. But it's bad. It's so bad. And I'm trying to find a silver lining, and it shit just keeps getting worse week after week after week. And you keep seeing the same things, and nothing is changing.
Well, I think he's the best quarterback that they got. You know what I'm saying? If he was,
that's what Tomlin, you know, said.
Yeah, I don't think that was just coach talk. I think he's the best quarterback that they have. The good part you can take from him, I mean, you gotta think that. Look at, you know what I'm saying, once they get really deep into divisional play, and again, like what did I just say last segment, Brandon? The Ravens aren't necessarily playing their best. We just saw Cleveland. We just saw Baker Mayfield basically get bailed out by Chubb in the defense. You know what I'm saying? So again, we also know that we can't necessarily just crown the Cincinnati Bengals just yet, even though they're a young up and comer. So again, everything starts with your division, and then it kind of works itself out. Again, long season. This race is a long race, not a sprint, right? So the positive I got back from just watching the game is that Big Ben still take a hit. You don't want him to take a hit now at this particular, particular age, right? But he still can take a hit and still be out there and playing. And they still able to deliver the long ball. Now, I know he took a late interception when they were still trying to come back. Again, that was trying to, get into a tight window, something wasn't there. They were down two scores anyway, so they would have had to score a touchdown and potentially kick offside kick to get the ball back. But I don't know, man. It doesn't look good. This is not necessarily typically, gloom and doom. We should just start putting dirt on the Pittsburgh Steelers name just yet. Again, I knew that division would be black and blue. I get it. You know what I'm saying? The Green Bay Packers have kind of woke up after every guy, shout out to Craig Ryan, biggest Packers fan that I know, is kind of watching, he chiming in on the chat there. But like, nah, man, Green Bay Packers kind of woke up, Brandon, and they're kind of back to where they were as they should have been. They should have had the same piss and vinegar in them going into game one. How did the Saints beat them? How did the Saints blank them? You know what I'm saying? That first game out. Well, again, like I said, Green Bay has kind of woken up. And, to be right there within maybe two scores of that particular team, I still would have a little hope, like, once we start getting, if I was a Steelers fan, once I start getting into divisional play. Because, again, like I said, Cleveland, looked real good, of course, against Chicago. You know what I'm saying? We know the mess that is. And I know we'll get to that here in a second. We know the mess that is. It kind of is between Nagy and his offense and Justin Fields. But look at what Cleveland, like I said, look what they looked like last week. And then think about some of the, you know what I'm saying, the losses that the Bengals have incurred. And then, like I said, the Ravens are the strongest, you know, strongest team on the bunch. So, you know, say get a little more time. I trust Mike Thomas more than almost any other coach, not named Bill Belichick, to be able to handle, you know, say adversity and to be able to deal, you know, say to come up with a scheme so they can sneak out some wins. So, I don't, unless Big Ben gets hurt, I don't see anybody, you know, saying replacing him anytime soon.
It took 4 weeks, and I'm already starting to see this year. And it took week 16 or so last year? Or no, it took week 15 or 14 last year where I saw the Juju Smith showing a little bit of Antonio Brown in him, with the diva side, the quitting side and stuff. Sunday, there's a reason why the camera kept panning to him with his sideline antics that he was doing. And Ben says post-game, I'm not going to quit. We're going to find a way to do this. But he goes, I just hope the other guys, and he's pointing right to his wide receivers to help his other guys just don't quit. Here's the problem. The wide receivers aren't getting – they're not getting free. They're not Deontay Johnson is nursing an injury. Juju, the position that he's – I didn't realize how bad he is when he doesn't have a superstar next to him. I hate to say it, but, you know, Antonio Brown gave him a lot of room, a lot of space. Claypool didn't play. He was out. I understand that. But right now, the hell, the Pittsburgh Steelers' leading receiver right now is a running back, Najee Harris. That's another thing. How long are you going to let him keep getting hit? I mean, my God, he's taking enough hits.
So do you think the general manager kind of outthought himself, as some general managers do, and thought that whatever – the offensive line room that they had that's been there for, like, even though we had the retirees, right? What does Chris Ballard say? Grow your own. You know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily go out and get somebody else's offensive line or somebody else's players, anything like that. Do you think, if you could do the draft again, would you rather got offensive tackle or, you know what I'm saying, or a guard instead of like a running back? I'm just asking you, you know what I'm saying, as a Steelers fan, you put your GM hat on. Would you rather got, you know what I'm saying, a tackle than
not
the, you know what I'm saying? Thinking long term. But you know, general managers think long term.
Not in the first round, I don't think, because you still needed a running back because you lost James Conner. I would address it in the second or third round instead of trying to get Freiemuth, the tight end from Penn State. Because you had an Ebron. I know he's not the greatest. And you had I know Vance McDonald retired, but you had to address it. Here's the problem. I think we decided, you know what, Ben's going to come back. He was making a ton of money that we had to restructure for the 1 year coming back. There wasn't enough money to go out and go after this offensive line with the pay, what the going rate was. I mean, look at the offensive linemen that were out there. I mean, look at Indianapolis. You see what they ended up getting. You know, somebody coming off of a Achilles injury with Eric Fisher. So I don't think the market was there for what Pittsburgh wanted, even if they had the shot. And I think they just said, you know, let's just put all our dice in this year and go. But, you know, Ben's not the Ben that used to be able to scramble and throw bodies off of him and continue to keep plays alive. 38 years old, he's not the Tom Brady out there. It's frustrating.
Right.
Because that's not how I want his career to end. It's not how I'm going to remember his career. But now, going into next season, and 4 games in, I'm already looking at next season, you've got to address two things. You've got to address the quarterback position. You've got to address the offensive line position. And that's why I said all over Twitter this weekend, go ahead and get the jersey fitted, get the helmet ready, get the T-shirts printed for Desmond Ridder, because he would be a splint. That's Pittsburgh Steeler.
You want Desmond Ridder already.
Yeah,
oh,
bring him over. Bring him into Pittsburgh. It's not too far from Cincinnati. He's seen
it's
us play
not,
twice a year. He sees us play over there once a year. Bring Desmond Ridder in as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Because you got the mobile guy there, and you can address the offensive line. But
right.
The defense can't keep bailing you out. And you can tell the defense is getting pissed because it's like, Jesus, we just got done stopping a team, held them to a field goal after a 13-play drive, and then now the Steelers go out there, throw three screen passes, and it's over. It's frustrating, John. I know we play Denver this week. It's probably going to be just as ugly. We're never going to – the Pittsburgh Steelers will not blow a team out this year. Every game will be a close game.
Every game will be a close game. We got to see how many starters are out. They looked out of sorts in Denver this past weekend. We got to see how many people are not who is and who ain't playing with Denver. Bridgewater has played well, but again, you know what I'm saying, they're different. You know what I'm saying, when they don't have their entire core. So
moving ahead, because I'm tired of talking and feeling sad. Steelers, you hear this?
Right.
That's a lot of dollar. That's the cha-ching going on at the cash registers because everybody is going out buying their Justin Fields jerseys now if they haven't bought them already. Justin Fields finally was able to go out there. Matt Nagy pulled the villain role over everybody. Good performance by the Bears this weekend. And then Monday's press conference, he goes, well, Andy Dalton is our starter, and we go into the meeting room strategy-wise, which confused the hell out of everybody. Like, why the hell would you do that? And then he comes out today and says, based on our strategy and our talk, Justin Fields is our starter. Well, no shit, Nagy. Like, this guy's working himself out of a job, but the Bears the Bears may not be rolling over just yet in this division.
They're
still getting their bellies pat by Aaron Rodgers, but they're not rolling all the way over. They're not stuffing.
Right.
They're not laying the bear rug on the floor.
Let's talk about who they played. Okay, so Matt Nagy saved his job this particular weekend and reached into his bag of tricks and said, how can I put my young quarterback in the best position? Well, he did a lot of those things. A lot of people were kind of clamoring, analysts and other football chimers enters were kind of saying, and he didn't necessarily have Justin Fields standing out there like a statue, at all. So, but
right.
Again, who were they playing? Okay. Now I got me some love because I got me some love for the Detroit Lions because our homie Fred Felton from the KFAP Connects is a fan, and also one of our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols from State Farm Insurance, is also a fan. But my goodness, man, that coach to be saying in the off season he's going to be tearing off kneecaps and breaking hips and whatnot. That defense is like, oh my goodness, Brandon, it's like an Arena League defense. You know what I mean? They might as well be playing on a shortened field if they give up so many yards. You know what I'm saying? So. Their offense with Jared Goff and Swift and the receivers that they have is not terrible, But again, I said it last week, your defense, modern day NFL defenses are basically set to not necessarily be shut down, even though that's kind of hard, in this particular league, but they're here to just give the offense the opportunity to get more bites at the apple. And whoever has, at the end of the game, whoever has more bites at the apple usually is the one that wins the game, right? So,
right.
And that's not what Detroit hasn't done that. So the guys that he's playing, they play tough and they're playing hard and they're playing joined together. They just don't have the talent defensively in Detroit. So, it was a sort of a surprise. I thought it would be, a tighter game where Detroit would, shame on me for not thinking that. Cause again, I think I like Chicago's defense and that hasn't waned in any bit, even though they, they don't know who the hell, who being Nagy doesn't know who the hell the quarterback is going to be from week to week. But, that defense just, kept, I mean, the defense did their job and gave the, Justin Fields more and more opportunity and the offense more and more opportunities to score. And again, that's who won the game. So, I can't necessarily say we can just say this is the Justin Fields. I mean, I guess this is Justin Fields' team right now, but I can't necessarily say, like you said, that we can, Chicago's got a shot I can't say that because, again, hell, he went from the Monday presser to saying that this is still Andy Dalton's team to just an hour from our show, saying that Justin Fields would be the starter going forward. So, again, sounds like there is a it's general manager ownership got one thing in mind, and Coach Nagy has another, but he has optimally listened to general manager and ownership. So we'll see. We'll see. Justin Fields got incredible talent, incredible ceiling, you know what I'm saying, to do some incredible things. Just the coach believe in him, because it will the coach continue to put him in, you know what I'm saying, in those positions to be successful. Those are the things that I would continue to question, because again, he's going to make mistakes, you know what I mean. But you know, I don't know. It's possible that Minnesota, even though they're in the basement, it's possible they could, you know what I'm saying, turn up a couple games on Chicago. It's possible once they get into you know, a divisional play. So, but no, great win. You take the victories when you can. So, like I said, tip your hat to them. It's a great win for the Chicago Bears this weekend.
Okay. All I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Are they starting to click now? Dak, Zeke. I know the Panthers looking down action, but Cowboys look good, John. They're starting to click like they will. Now, is this going to be the Cowboys that are going to flutter towards the end when they play the rest of the NFC least? Or the division is there? The Cowboys looking good.
I like the Cowboys to win the division. They might get a little bit of pushback when they play Philadelphia. Just because Philadelphia is a little bit unpredictable. The quarterback play in Washington is still kooky. And even though the Giants got a win this past weekend, their quarterback play is real kooky still with Daniel Jones. But again, a couple plays here. I go back to week one game against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A couple plays, a couple whistle blows here, a couple whistle blows there. The Cowboys win that game, and Tampa Bay is you know what I'm saying, got at least one loss in the loss column. So can you say? I don't want you. Yeah, now here's the thing, man. People want to crown them already. You know what I'm saying? Four games into it, but I know they got some tough ones outside of the division. I still know they got some more tough games. And like I say, I think that was a pretty good measuring stick with Carolina. As again, Matt Rhule has proved me wrong, and having that team prepared with Sam Darnold. Again, I thought Sam Darnold was a throwaway, to be honest with you. But great game. I thought it was a pretty good game. And like I said, Cowboys won the turnover battle, and offensively they did what they do. Just kind of just hit you from the air, hit you from the ground, and there you are. Cowboys are now 3-1.
Okay. Real quick, Chiefs, Eagles, man, that Chiefs defense is going to be able to stop anybody when it comes down to the time, because the Eagles are not good. They put up 30.
No. And they just want to, and I think that's going to be, you know what I'm saying, this team just wants to out. They're like the Phoenix Suns with Steve Nash and Amar'e Stoudemire. They just want to outscore you.
Right.
You know? So, they you know what I'm saying, as long as they can keep, you know what I'm saying, Josh Gordon off the weed, or, you know what I'm saying, and in upright in uniform. Play the sound here on that one. But they've got Josh Gordon out there now to add more to even more explosive
they
offense.
Off
not-
the weed!
This particular team is not interested in defense. This particular incarnation of the Kansas City Chiefs is not worried about their corners. They ain't worried about run stop because they haven't put a focus on it. They just want Patrick Mahomes out there to be able to score touchdowns and hit his receivers and give it to the running back every now and then and move down the field. I don't necessarily a winning, you know what I'm saying, brand of like, you know, how to win football games in the modern day NFL. It can probably be with their schedule, probably get them, you know what I'm saying, 12 or so wins, you know what I mean? But when it comes down to teams that can equal their firepower, like a Buffalo Bills, like a Ravens when they're healthy, like, you know what I'm saying, as much as I dumped on the Ravens this particular episode, but when they're healthy, they have this much awesome firepower as the Chiefs at home, you know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily think that necessarily bodes well for them if they're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. Or in the position, if they can get back to the Super Bowl, what does that look like if they have to face a Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady, who's, man, one of the smartest. I mean, you can say what you want to say about the coach. I think he's the coach, period. Okay. Coach and quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, again, dangerous way to play football. Kansas City's playing. But like I said, they seem to be up for the challenge to basically outscore everybody. I know they got a tough one this weekend. They play Buffalo. So we'll see if they, you know what I'm saying, if they can execute, you know what I'm saying, what they're doing.
Okay. Are you ready to give an apology to this next team, their fan base, and their coach?
Who I got to apologize to?
The Arizona Cardinals. The fan base. Cliff Kingsbury.
I didn't crap on their team. I think in the offseason I said I like some of the moves they made. Now here's what I will say.
What about Cliff when he was hired? I don't think you're a fan of that.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah, I didn't like that, and I didn't care for them. The quarterback that they had, and I mean, seemingly
Rosen.
I don't even know if he's in the league anymore now. If he is, he's a third stringer somewhere. I'll apologize for at least that. I did like some of the personnel moves they did make this past summer. No, I did not see them beating the Rams, though. And that was, like I said, they kind of hit the Rams, stocked the Rams in the mouth. And, you know what I'm saying, some of the MVP, you know what I'm saying, things we were saying about Matthew Stafford just kind of went away and went over to Kyler Murray. We'll see. Well, here's the thing, Brandon. We'll see if Arizona can handle success. That would be if they can maintain this level, high level of play that they've been able to do.
Are they who we thought they were? Denny Green, shout out, RIP, for sure. This game,
Let's go!
The love fest that we had on Sunday night, and hey, all you Indianapolis Colts fans, all you Indianapolis people all over Twitter talking about, Jesus, all this is Tom Brady love fest Tom Brady. Excuse me, they did the same damn thing when Peyton Manning came back from Denver to Indianapolis. You can look it up, watch the game on YouTube. They did the same damn thing. Plus, you got to go a little extra with the GOAT. Brady
and the Bucs
come into New England, sloppy game, rainy.
Yep.
They get it done. Belichick not going for it with Mac. Hey, John, I'm impressed with Mac Jones again. I'm impressed. He's doing better than I thought he would. He looks good.
Man.
But
yeah, he
what
did.
A game to finish.
I don't know, man. Did Bill Belichick get out coached by Tom Brady?
I think he did at the end.
he got out coached by Tom Brady, man. I think Bill, at 4th-and-3, again, man, he doesn't have, you know what I'm saying, running back got hurt, and he doesn't necessarily have a great, you know what I'm saying, running back room or anything like that. So they didn't. I think they have negative yardage from rushing. You know what I mean? So they threw it 1,000 times. You know what I'm saying? Not literally, but you know they threw it for 1,000 times. And Mac Jones was capable of living up to that. You know what I'm saying? That task, because you know I mean I don't know how his completion, but you know I know it was pretty darn good, because they for every. Until the last play of the field goal kicker not, you know what I'm saying, not living up to the legend of Adam Vinatieri in New England, they were right there neck and neck, tooth and tooth, with a Gronk-less Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I got to put that into somewhat of a context, because if Gronkowski is out there, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a little bit more dangerously.
Correct.
A little bit more dangerous offensively, but you got to play who you play on the field. That's what football's about. You play who's in front of you. But and like I said, they were right there with them. But that 4th-and-3, you seemingly needed, you know, 2 more yards just to, you know what I mean, if the time wasn't necessarily running out, you had it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't get it, what does it matter? You know what I mean? You kick the 50-something yard field goal, you know what I mean?
On a kicker that has a hurt plant leg already.
Yeah, so I almost felt like that, you know what I'm saying, from a coach standpoint, Tom Brady, you know what I'm saying, you know, no, he outcoached Bill Belichick.
Let me ask you this.
So,
do you think Belichick deep down was like, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose off a missed field goal from this distance rather than us get something and then give Brady the chance to steal the spotlight on a last-minute drive?
But here's the thing, though, Brandon, wasn't they corralled Tom Brady? So I don't. He didn't throw any. I don't. I believe he didn't throw any interceptions. But he had constant pressure in his face.
Yes, he did.
He had constant pressure in his face.
They kept changing up the defense, which was great.
Yeah. So he had constant pressure, and though he didn't take too many hits, or I mean, he took a sack. They had constant pressure, and a lot of the rain may have helped. I don't know, but he had a lot of. You know what I'm saying? Where is Tom Brady throwing to? He looked like what Mac Jones should have been in his big game. He looked like a rookie sometimes.
Right.
But in critical, you know what I'm saying, one play, I think, you know me, man, I will never say he's the GOAT all-time player, but in critical points of a football, critical points of a football game, he knows the play to make and has the poise, and they go out there and execute. I am more so amazed, though, even though he had a poor QBR rating, Tom Brady did, that particular game. I am amazed how cohesive he is with the offensive line. And I know, you know what I'm saying, in this day and age, since last Super Bowl, everybody now is an offensive line whisperer, if you watch it on TV, right? Next time, everybody, listen, this is what I'm saying. Watch the connection Tom Brady has with his offensive linemen. Where if he steps left, they step 2 feet left. You know what I'm saying? They wherever he goes, that's where, you know what I'm saying, that's where he goes. So I think even though he had a poor throwing, you know what I'm saying, and like I said, Gronkowski wasn't there, and his accuracy wasn't necessarily there with his receivers, even Mike Evans and whoever else not that was out there playing. Like they kept him clean, but I mean, like I said, Bill Belichick came with some exotic pressure, different looks, and again, what people thought was going to be a blowout game was not a blowout game. Very close contested game, and unfortunately, kicker couldn't make that. Oh man, bounce off. I said, man, you know what I'm saying. But again, an old Colts fan that I am, still harbor some of my feelings for this particular team here in Circle City. It's hard for me to watch a game, Brandon. Cheering or booing for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers or the New England Patriots. I'm like, dude.
Hey, who are you pulling for in that one?
Dude, I wanted a tie.
Of course you did.
A tie.
By the way, highest watched Sunday night football game in history. So, just saying. Ratings are there. Tom Brady puts butts in the seats. He makes the money. And, I mean, that's your cash cow. Guy's incredible. Because you look at him, here's my thing. You look at him, and then you look at Ben, that's 2 years later, and then Rodgers, that's maybe 4 years later. And there's just, it's night and day difference between Brady and his ability and his physique, and then Big Ben's. Obviously,
right.
Big Ben's obviously a little bit fatter already, but damn,
right. Essentially, Tom Brady can have a bad game, and they can still come out with a win.
Yes.
Basically, that's what we're trying to say. Tom Brady can have a bad game and come out win. Big Ben, things got to be right. Defense got to get some turnovers, sack, fumbles, all those things, interceptions, all those things. And, you know what I'm saying, we'll see. But I don't know, man.
I think we're both in agreement that the Mac Jones and the Patriots, they're going to be a problem in the future.
Yeah. Long term? Oh, yeah. Once. Oh, did you see Belichick's son on the sideline?
Oh, my God. Dude, that's a gift waiting to happen. Looks like a real-life Chucky doll.
Man, he need on a mat. He was scaring me. Okay,
there's going to be some women loving that.
I don't know.
He was acting a fool out there. And you know what? He's going to be – here's my prediction. Go ahead and put a little pin in it. Here's my prediction with his son. His son's going to get some head coaching job here in the next 4 or 5 years, and he's going to come in and say and do things, this is my way. I'm a Belichick, and it's my way or the highway. He's going to get fired. He'll get fired, and then he'll go back and do whatever for a year or two, and then he'll be more successful and be a good football coach, I think, in his second gig. You watch. That's how it's probably going to play out with his career.
I can see that. Well, we know he won't be the head coach of New England Patriots.
No. Daddy says there's only one Belichick in New England. So
New England, right.
John, speaking of people who kind of looked like they were in trouble, after you get beat on a Thursday night and you're 0-4 and the team flies back to Jacksonville and you say, you know what? I'm going to stay up here. I'm already in Cincinnati. I could just drive up the road to Columbus.
Yeah.
And then there's videos that come out of you on Saturday night and some nice little 20-something co-ed doing a little dancing
maybe.
And a little finger poking through the jeans, Urban. Not a good look, John, for Urban. Figured he was going to get fired, and the cons have came out and said even though he's just been disrespectful, they believe in Urban. Urban says he's not going to resign.
Right.
Here's the thing, John. He needs to. I think he's just now starting to realize that there's a hell of a lot of difference between college football and pro football, because that locker room, none of them respect him and
right.
or give a damn about Urban Meyer. In a college locker room, he was alpha. In this one, he's a beta.
I don't necessarily know if he's even a beta. He's just somebody that, you know, here's the thing, Brandon. Like, outside of him being a married man, right, I don't necessarily, and that being a funny moment on social media, on Twitter, I don't think that has anything to do with him if he loses his job, him having extramarital affairs. I don't think that has anything to do with him losing his job. Is it a bad look, especially when somebody's saying connectivity and no, now don't be a distraction to the team, you know what I'm saying, all those things. Is it a bad look? Yes. But fireable, what's fireable was what happened Thursday night. Okay? That's fireable. Yeah. Mismanaging time, mismanaging labor, mismanaging this Robinson kid who could seemingly be not necessarily a stud running back, but a pretty good name running back. We all could see Trevor Lawrence got the goods, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have been number one pick, but you can see it now, right? Especially
right.
in that game. I think he took a raised eyebrow having to go against Joe Burrow, you know what I'm saying, from their college days. He's like, well, let's start it all up again, you know what I'm saying, little brother, right? But that was a game that they could have won. Right, and they didn't because of
they
should have
got the touchdown at the end of before halftime. Like that's where the tide turned.
Well, I mean, it would have been a touchdown, or should you went for three? I'm always going to say go for early in the game, Brandon. Go for whatever points you know what I'm saying that you can get. Late in the game, you go for a touchdown, but you gave up how many points in the second half?
21.
So, yeah, so 17,
14, right? Yeah.
Maybe you take a little bit out of the wins or the fails of the opposing team up being up 17. Instead of being up two scores, now you're up technically three. I get it. They lost by three, right? But I don't know, man. Again, a lot of mismatch. Again, for somebody of his ilk who has success on football fields from Utah to Ohio and parts in between Florida, right, that's not what the ownership paid for. You know what I mean? Mismanagement. And, again, a lot of other things have kind of come in. Be honest with you, Brandon, ESPN kind of stirring the pot on this shit. Sorry. I didn't mean, you know what I mean? I know.
Oh,
we
boy.
Say
here we go.
Show, but
we're going to lose our show.
Like, dude, man. Like, dude. Yeah, all right. They're going to block out the show for me talking crap about them. They start – so, like, everybody has a comment, not on his play calling on the field, on, like, the other, like the you know, saying show up in a bar with the girl.
But that's also what everybody wants to hear about, John. Everybody loves juicy details. They love the drama. That's what they tune in for, is to hear the takes on that, not the X's
right.
and O's that happened on the field.
So check it out. Hold on. So who's going? So when Matt Nagy gets fired, he don't get fired. Who knows what he got going on? I'm not saying he's in the same boat as Urban Meyer, but he's gonna get fired because of wins and losses.
Right
or wrong. You see what I'm saying? Coach of the Giants, when he's going to get fired. Okay?
Joe Judge,
he's going to get fired. Like, you know what I'm saying? They want to make it, you know what I'm saying, soap opera, daytime drama with Urban Meyer. Tim Tebow, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
Did you hear Marcellus? Was it Marcellus Wiley? There was a guy. He's always on First Take or whatever.
Marcellus, I know you're talking about. It wasn't Marcellus Wiley, though.
That he said Urban Meyer, he needs to be fired because the way he's the extramarital stuff that he was doing, the fact that he brought Tim Tebow in and gave him special like
yeah.
that's why you're
that
gonna fire
yeah,
a guy, you idiot.
That's all
like,
I'm saying. Right. That's baloney. That's baloney. Because if that was the case, then some of his buddies, like, what's my guy?
The racist guy he brought in and then brought into his strength program and all this, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, he got rid of him, too.
Right.
As soon as
but they're saying, he's like, this is all the reasons why he should not be the head football coach and should be fired today. I'm like, all right, you're stretching a little.
Yeah, I'm not saying, like, again, you know, some morality police, you know what I'm saying? That stuff works both ways, man, because, again, there's a lot of guys who got hookers, violations against them, and they still work for the NFL Network. This is true.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Michael Irvin.
Right, Michael Irvin, right. So let's be careful about, like, what – well, you know what I'm saying, what we say and, like, how we say when it comes to, like, being the moral police. That's all I'm kind of saying. What Urban Meyer, like, again, the four games that I watched seem like mismanagement, doesn't seem like what they paid for. Again, they just fired a dude last year. Who knows? I can't even remember what his name was. They fired him so fast. He was 1-16. I'm sorry, 1-15.
Right.
They look like they're going to be 1-15 again. Based on mismanagement, they can't have that.
Well, they also don't have the main running back, ETN. But James Robinson's a good, you know, they didn't just go to him.
Right.
Let me give you my thought process on Urban now real quick for the future.
Sure.
I got to thinking if, A, he got fired, what the next step would be, or B, at the end of the year, what the next step would be based off all this and kind of the, damn, I just don't have it. Because, like, you could see Urban resigning after 1 year and just saying, I just don't have, you know, it was a good run, but it's just not me, whatever. You can see Urban doing that. And I know we talked about weeks ago when USC opened up their job, I said, and several other people said, Urban leaving, Urban to USC. What a great fit. Urban to USC. Great, great, great fit. John, I don't think it's going to end up being USC for him. Because of the timing and
right.
USC with all the other drama stuff that they've had in the past, they kind of want to limit themselves from that in the future. Yes, USC would be an easier gig for Urban to stay in the top four playoff team for USC to be the Pac-12 winner and do all that. But I honestly think now, next year, that Urban, the best spot for him to go will be LSU. LSU has a higher ceiling. They've got a higher ceiling down there. The last three head coaches that have been at LSU have all three won national championships, and only one of them was really a great coach, and that's Nick Saban. Les Miles, and Coach O. So you can go down there, win a national championship, get the right players in. Question is, you got to deal with Nick Saban. You know, how many more years, whatever, that's a higher ceiling for Urban to go to LSU, and they'll turn in. Shit, you look at their basketball program and their football program with their violations and stuff. They'll turn an eye to what happened with the extramarital stuff with Urban Meyer. They'll turn it over and say, I don't care. It is what it is. I think Urban will be at LSU. I really do.
Brandon, I thought about that on the drive home as somebody was reporting about Urban Meyer. And somebody was reporting about Ed Orgeron and, like, the fan bases. I don't know if it's more so the fan base but the media around that particular program that's kind of turned. Orgeron has had some wins, but not like key wins. And they just don't feel like they're, you know what I'm saying, they're not talked about in the same regard anymore that, like, the Alabamas and the Floridas and the Georgias of the world as far as the SEC play is concerned. And they don't, you know what I'm saying, if your middle pack of the SEC, like LSU is right now, because they took a loss against Auburn this particular weekend, it's kind of frowned upon. That's the kind of earlier on in the college football season, I was like, man, how could you fire a guy, how could you fire a guy 2 years removed from a national championship, and that's kind of how things are down there in that, you know what I'm saying, with that particular side of the universe, so in football universe. So if Ed Orgeron somehow survives this particular college football season and SEC play, maybe gets another win or two, or, you know what I'm saying, goes to a, you know, somewhat of a decent bowl, I don't necessarily think that move happens, but he's kind of seemingly kind of if he spirals out of control, and let's say loses to a Tennessee, or even you know what I'm saying, or even poorly poorly to Alabama, which I think is coming up in like the next 2 or 3 weeks or so. Then there probably will be some discussion about removing Ed Orgeron, or I know I jacked up his name, and possibly bringing in Urban Meyer. Again, it's still a lot of football to be played on both sides, college and pro. But yeah, you're right. You're spot on. Like, LSU just wants a name to come in there and shape things up quick, and you know what I'm saying, that would be something that Urban Meyer could do.
Yep, absolutely. John, I want to do a quick ad read. Our ad reads, we'll do those. Do you want to do are we doing our other one? Are we announcing?
We'll announce it. We don't have to say do an ad read official, but we'll announce it for sure. So we'll do the official ad reads that everybody kind of knows about.
Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll go ahead and go to a quick ad reads, and we come back. We'll start the second half of the show.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. We carry all the top brands and more, custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Or give them a call at 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, we're back. You don't have anything for our third one? Are we not doing it this week?
Yeah, like I said,
go ahead.
We just announced it. Officially, you know what I'm saying, the listeners of Crossroads Sports and a little bit unofficial, they kind of already seen on our social media that we've taken on a new sponsor as well. That would be Three Wiseman. That's Wiseman with an E, Three Wiseman Logistics. They're an Amazon delivery service partner. Located here in the Indianapolis market. And the biggest thing is that, you know what I'm saying, like I said, they are an Amazon delivery service. But right now, folks, the biggest one thing they wanted for us, Crossroads Sports, to convey is that they are hiring. So, you know, anybody looking for a job, and I do know, like I said, they're hiring for the warehouse, but they're ultimately hiring. They're also looking for drivers. Drivers' pay starts about $750. They do have benefits and whatnot. Again, we'll get more of that information out to you as soon as possible. But yes, Wiseman Logistics. You can call them at this number, 877-744-6212, or you can hit them on the internet if you're internet savvy at wisemanlogistics.com. That's Wiseman with an E, Wiseman with, you know what I'm saying, that's how you spell Wiseman with an E, wisemanlogistics.com. Like I said, they're hiring. Like I said, starting pay is $750 an hour. I know with everybody coming, you know, no jokes, you know what I'm saying, to be said, but everybody coming off you know what I'm saying, COVID, unemployment or whatnot, looking for a job, but what better way, you know what I'm saying, to jumpstart? Amazon ain't going nowhere, right? What better way to jumpstart your bank account going into the holiday season with a job, with a company that we know that's rock solid? And they, like I said, like Wiseman Logistics is basically an affiliate of Amazon. So, again, you'll see and hear more commercial spots from me and from Brandon and myself, and you'll see more and more things on the internet, on our Facebook, on our Instagram and whatnot, on our Twitter handle and whatnot about Wiseman Logistics. And like I said, they're a service delivery, you know what I'm saying, the company. And like I said, they're right now, the biggest thing they want, you know what I'm saying, everybody knows, is that they are hiring. So if you're looking for a job, go to wisemanlogistics.com.
Absolutely. And if you're on the Facebook live feed, we've got it up there right now, the phone number to call. They are hiring, Three Wiseman Logistics, Amazon Delivery, affiliate of Amazon Delivery. Thank you to them. Welcome aboard. John, go going off the second half of the show. I think the train ran off the tracks on Saturday. You had to get your popcorn ready, but I think the popcorn got burnt because there was no reason to even pull it out. Damn. I was hoping Lane Train and them would do something good against Alabama, and they got train ruled. They got trucked.
Yeah. Well, they did score 2 touchdowns, didn't they? I think they did.
They did.
Unfortunately, they scored them when Alabama had like already scored like 4 themselves. So just not necessarily ready for that prime time Alabama matchup. You know what I'm saying? Nick Saban was 23-0 going into that game against former Alabama assistants. He's now 24-0 going against former Alabama assistants. And Ole Miss defense, they didn't have one player. But one player does not necessarily make, unless it's a quarterback or even, you know what I'm saying, the dynamic in this particular guard, their running back was out with the injury. You know, you want to see Alabama games turn out to be boring, don't they? After when you watch
right.
them, and then it's just a slaughter. Their quarterback just had time after time. He wasn't really necessarily pressured in any shape or form. The defense that I know we've kind of said that Alabama was going to take a back step. They looked like you know what I'm saying, a better defense than what the Detroit Lions is running right now. So. To the point, one of the two best teams, and I'm saying this, so the spoiler alert, this would be something that somebody's going to check me for here later on the show. The two best teams in the SEC, one of them happens to be Alabama. And you know what I mean? I don't know. You got to have special talent on the other side of the ball just to keep up with them. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, Ole Miss didn't have that. You know what I mean? That you got to have a lot of speed. At the receiver position, you also got to have a lot of speed in your secondary, in your defensive secondary. I think Ole Miss had enough. I believe Lane Kiffin felt that going into the game they had enough offense, but they didn't have enough defense to get the offense the ball, the opportunity to score. So, just a shellacking, just got out muscled. And I'm surprised they were able to score the 2 touchdowns that they did, Ole Miss did. So you just kind of got to tip your hat to Alabama. Understand that they're going to probably run through the rest of their SEC schedule. And, you know what I'm saying, once they get to the SEC championship game, we'll see what they have for Georgia.
Okay. Take a call real quick. Sweet Lou, how we doing, buddy? Long time.
How are you? Yeah,
good,
I've been trying to get a hold of you, but you know, we haven't been able to connect.
What's new in New York?
Finally, the Jets and Giants got their first win of the season last week.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
I thought the quarterback for the Jets looked good. He made some good throws.
Yeah, they did. I mean, as bad as they are, I don't think they're going to be that bad to lose 17 games. I mean, you know, if you're that bad, I don't think they're going to be long playing in the NFL that much. But, you know, they had to be one. And I think they can beat Atlanta this week, too, because we know how bad Atlanta is. So I think we might see a bit of 2 in a row here.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a little shocked with how the Giants, I thought they would lose in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, I really did.
And I was impressed by, feed Saquon. Saquon finally had his breakout game since the injury from last year.
I mean, to come back from 11 down as well, I mean, that's not easy to do. And it was like in the third quarter, I'm like, okay, this is a big loss. But they managed to pull it out. And both games were in overtime.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I gotta ask you what the temperature is there today in New York, because – the news got spread last night. The Yankees lost to the rivals.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This was World Series or bust. Aaron Boone officially on the hot seat, ? Or is it more people say Gerrit Cole paying him all that money and the dude can't even get 3 innings in?
Well, I'll put it to you this way right now. His job is on the line right now, Boone. I mean, he's had 4 seasons, you know, with the Yankees, and not once they take him past, you know, the second round. So his job, I believe, is in jeopardy right now. you know, because the Yankees, you know, always seem to have this World Series or bust mentality. And,
right.
you know, he has a good regular season record. I mean, that's – but that's not the same because their mentality, you know, is to make it to the World Series. And they haven't done so much since 2010 when they leaped the league championship series. After that, they just went south. Well, actually,
I'm
2017, when they lost to the Astros in 2017-2018, and of course that was that's another story altogether. I couldn't stand it when that home run was hit. Yeah,
I was embarrassed. Not embarrassed, but I was just really disappointed in Gallo. He just was. I think he was batting 198 or so. I saw last night. Just a trade. Just a bad trade. I feel.
I wouldn't say that because Gallo, you know, has, you know, really, you know, sparked up that team. I mean, we won 13 in a row with him since he went in the lineup. So, you know, they had to be good for something.
Have you ever seen a Major League Baseball player ever pimp a single before, like Giancarlo did there in the first inning?
I have.
Boy, I think the announcers, the radio announcers, him, the cameraman, everybody thought that ball was gone last night, the first one.
Yeah. So did I.
I had a bet for him to hit a home run. Thank God he got it in the ninth for me to win that bet. But
the night before. By then it was, you know, too late. I mean, they were already up 6-1. There wasn't much we were going to do anyway. You know,
right.
It's a lot easier for us to come back when we're home. But when we're down 6-1 on the road, that makes it awfully tough.
What about the base calling call, sending Judge? I mean, you only had one out. You would have had two guys on, sending Judge around third. I don't know. I guess you needed a run, but I feel like you already had momentum. You got Olivalli out of the game already.
Yeah, I mean, Judge wasn't really on his game at all. I mean, he just looked flat from the whole game, and Boston was just too strong. I really thought that with Martinez out, that was going to be a golden opportunity for us to win that game, but no.
So we got tonight you got the Cardinals who won 17 of their final 18 games, and the Dodgers tonight. Who you like? You're a flip a coin, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look. I mean, if it wasn't for the Cardinals' 18 game winning streak, I mean, hands down, yeah, the Dodgers would. We'll have a field day with them. But this is kind of, you know, this is like a wild card game for the ages. You got the best team in the regular season against the highest team that we've seen in quite some time. So this is going to be a very, very, very difficult game. It's going to be a dogfight. I mean, this is going to be back and forth the whole night long. If I were a betting man, I would take the Dodgers in a slight margin.
Okay. Yeah. Just a little bit of notes. The Cardinals were 22-7 in September. The Dodgers were 19-7 in their last 20. They both same record 17-3. Cardinals tonight are +210. That's almost value where you can't pass that up to put something on there at +210. 47% of the bets are on the Cardinals tonight. It's in Los Angeles. I'm going to go with the better team, the Dodgers. Put money on the money line, anything on it, just because it's -220 something or -230 for the Dodgers. You're not really getting good value. If anything, I'm going to be under 7.5. I think you get a good pitching duel between Wainwright and Scherzer tonight.
Mad Max Scherzer.
Hey, Lou, I'm going to be in New York. I'm coming to New York City the week before Christmas, so. I'll be first time there since 2005, so I'll be checking it out. And I've got my tickets. I'm going to the Mecca for a Knicks game, so I can get it off my bucket list for the Madison Square Garden.
Ah, nice. Great.
So,
well, for the Mecca, I'm over in Jersey. I'm about 40 minutes outside of the city. Yeah, I'm in the Burbank.
What else you got, Lou? What are we thinking for NHL?
Well, with the season starting in about a week to go, Devils may look may look a bit better. I'm hoping the Rangers do. But I'm thinking of the new team, Seattle. I mean, you know, if their preseason is any indication of how the regular season is going to go, I think we might see the next version of the Golden Knights here. I mean, Seattle is really doing well in their preseason debut year. So maybe this can turn into something. Maybe.
Okay.
But don't take my word for it. Nobody else anyway.
And my last one, I guess, I have for you is what's Brooklyn and Kyrie going to figure out, especially with the vaccine? Kyrie doesn't get vaccinated. I know New York has it where he can't practice in New York. He can't play in any of the home games if he doesn't get vaccinated. Like, what a mess right now Brooklyn has to deal with when they're trying to go out and win a championship.
I'll put it this way. Kyrie, what the hell are you thinking? Look, we're talking about your career here. You know, you want to be able to play. But for crying out loud, get vaccinated. Look, you may feel a little bit crappy in the beginning, but it's going to do you well in the long run and protect you from other diseases down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, don't try to be like, I don't need it. I'm invincible. I'm not going to take this vaccine stuff. It doesn't really work. You'd be surprised. Look, I'm only half vaccinated myself, but you know, I don't feel anything at all. I didn't feel any sick or anything. Well, I grew with her nipple for like a day and a half, but that's the only thing that was out there. just kidding. My arm was throbbing. If anything, my arm was throbbing for about 2 days, but that's it.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So look, don't try to be, you know, a man like, oh, I don't need it. Yeah, you do. Because your career depends on it, your family's life depends on it, your life depends on it. But just shut up and take it and get back into the game already, all right? Come on. We need you.
There you go. Sweet Lo, you still podcasting?
You better believe it. Still on the air. Right, Saturdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
The show is called The Enhanced Sports Show. Number to call is 512-543-4662. You can also reach me on my Google email, lutzner45@capitalgmail.com. And remember, I do not do the show on Blog Talk. I do it on Uber, so you can find it there. So if you're looking, because everybody's thinking, well, you're not on Blog Talk, so I can't find you. No, I switched over from Blog Talk in 2018 when I got the show. So just call the number that I gave you. It doesn't cost you a cent. And, we talk about just about everything in the sports world, but got to keep the language clean. That we have to do because that's our policy.
There you go. There you
Perfect.
Go. The Enhanced Sports Show.
Awesome.
That's right.
Thanks, Lou, for calling. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thanks.
All right. That's Sweet Lou calling in from the East Coast for us, John.
Man, I think Aaron Boone, he's the kind of guy that wins the press conference. He has a pretty much a good answer for all the, you know what I'm saying, the reporters and whatnot. He seems like a player coach, and that might be, you know what I'm saying, kind of where, you know what I'm saying, he's missing, you know what I'm saying. There is no the Steinbrenner, you know what I'm saying, the folks they've had in there in the past is kind of like an extension of Steinbrenner, where, like, we're paying you $30 million. We want you to, you know, to execute like a $30 million player. And I don't necessarily think Aaron Boone kind of I think there are expectations put upon this team, but I don't think it's kind of like how, you know what I'm saying, historically the Steinbrenners kind of want to run that organization. I don't know if it's not him, because I never thought they'd fire Joe Girardi, right, and replace him with Boone, you know what I mean? But if it's not him, I don't know who it could be, who would be the next guy in that big seat that they have in New York. But if he does survive this particular offseason, he won't and somehow – doesn't win or get to the playoffs in an extended run next year, he will be fired after next year.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Back to college football. Thanks, Sweet Lou, for giving us the call. John, Cincinnati, Desmond Ridder, the future Pittsburgh Steeler,
man.
Cincinnati went into Notre Dame and put a beat down on the Irish. Reggie Sykes, nowhere to be found with them Irish getting that ass whooped at home. No excuse to lose at home to a team that's not even in a Power 5, Reggie. Come on now. I thought this was Notre Dame, not Notre Shame. Cincinnati, what a game, John. They're in the driver's seat for the final spot in the college football playoff.
Regardless of what anybody says, Notre Dame does play a strong schedule. That's a big-time win for the Cincinnati Bearcats to go into South Bend and come out with a victory in the way that they did it. Coach Kelly went through three quarterbacks. Notre Dame coach went through three quarterbacks that particular afternoon. I don't know. Seemingly something kind of like you lost a little bit of faith in what, you know, saying Jack Cone and this offensive line were able to, you know what I'm saying, have been able to do. I don't know. I thought it was kind of quick, even though they were playing crappy. I still thought it was kind of quick from my particular lens, you know what I mean? And then he went to the third quarterback, and they still managed to turn over the ball. And that's kind of what happened. I don't even think, as I recall the game, I don't think the Bearcats even registered a sack, Brandon. They just kind of they sacked it one time, but the turnover battle was really about the interceptions that were thrown. Desmond Ridder should definitely be on anybody's Heisman watch, regardless if you think Cincinnati's going to be in the top four bowl or one of the top four championship bowls or not. He's not a guy that's kind of he doesn't turn the ball over with a great, with great certainty. So he's got like 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions this year already in 4 games. He just makes do with the opportunity that the team kind of puts him in. You know, you can say he's a top playmaker, right? He's a leader of the team, right? All those things. And like I said, they just keep on winning. Some people try to say that they had a somewhat of a weaker schedule. You know what I mean? That's of course debatable. But like when you go into South Bend and come out with a win, and it's not. You don't get a Rudy size from any of the Notre Dame. You know, say playing at home. You know, saying Notre Dame can play Alabama. I'm being totally honest. They still might lose, but you're going to get a Rudy size effort from Notre Dame, always at home from that particular program. So, but to come out, you know what I'm saying, victorious in South Bend is still something that, you know, a badge of honor. You know what I'm saying? It's something that, you know, I mean, something you're going to be memorable for not the season going on in Bearcat history, Bearcat football history. So, I don't know, man. They got a shot, Brandon, because, like, right now they're sitting outside the top four. The Bearcats are, so they're number 5. I don't necessarily think, you know, saying that, not to get off Notre Dame, I don't necessarily think Notre Dame's chances to jump back up into the top 5 or the top 4, or getting to that point, it's probably out.
We both have them in our top 5. We both have them sitting 5th in our newest rankings that I have up on Facebook Live.
Yeah, Cincinnati's in top 5. Cincinnati would, you know what I'm saying, kind of need the Big Ten to kind of gobble up itself and beat up itself to jump into a top 4 situation. The Big 12, I think that's kind of going to happen. One of those teams, Texas, has the potential to beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma has the potential to beat Texas this weekend, and then next weekend lose to Oklahoma State. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Big 12 might actually kind of play itself out, kind of like how the Pac-12 has played itself out. Now, again, Cincinnati kind of plays, they go into their conference play. They don't play anybody, you know what I'm saying, worth a note that could potentially even challenge them. They play UCF, who has an exotic way of scoring, but they, you know what I'm saying, this is not the UCF that Scott Frost left, you know what I'm saying. So as long as they keep clean and, you know what I'm saying, as long as they keep, you know what I'm saying, a loss from happening, they could potentially jump into the top 4 and get into the national championship game.
Okay. Looking at the top 10 rankings that we have out, we both had Cincinnati at 5. We both had Oklahoma at 6. I had Ohio State enter it back. We both had Michigan entering our top 10s for the first time. You had Notre Dame leaving, which is questionable to me why you have them out and Arkansas in when Arkansas got their ass handed to them. By Georgia. I think Notre Dame still lost to a top 10 team. I don't think that diminishes them too much, but
yeah,
I think what you're going to get a lot of kickback from, and we'll see if Facebook Live has it or if we get any messages, you have taken Georgia and put them ahead of Alabama as the number 1 team. I told you I thought Georgia before the season. You heard me. I thought Georgia was going to win the national championship, be in that national championship game. I was on them from the beginning. But you've got them right now. I still have them at number two. You have them at number one, jumping Alabama.
I do.
After their performance. Explain yourself. I know Justin Powell is watching and waiting and waited bated breath.
This ain't Stephen A. controversy. This ain't ESPN bloviating. This ain't hype. I really believe Georgia is the best team right now in the nation. To basically put a zilch on Arkansas, the hottest team in a, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to say the hottest team in America in college football, who went into Lubbock and put a shellacking on the Texas, I mean, I guess you could say they're overrated, but like now they're number 20, they're 21 ranked Texas Longhorns. But to put a shellacking on the Texas Longhorns and then stepped up to the challenge last week, I forget who they played last week because they won that game too. Arkansas did in a dramatic fashion. But I just thought Arkansas was going to put a little bit better of a showing out there, and that necessarily didn't happen. I know they lost their quarterback in the second half, the starting quarterback, K.J. Jefferson, to a minor injury. I say minor, kept him out of the game, but won't keep him out the rest of the season. But, I feel what you're saying, Brandon, as far as like, because I ain't ready necessarily to stamp they're better than Notre Dame. Just because Michigan State's undefeated, I don't think they're necessarily better than Notre Dame. Just because Arkansas took a one loss, and I get it was a shellacking loss to Georgia, but I'm telling you, I think Georgia's defense, because that's how they won that game against Arkansas. Defensively, they took – defensively and running the ball, because it wasn't their quarterback play. Arkansas was not their quarterback. I'm sorry, not Georgia. Wasn't Georgia's quarterback play, because their starting quarterback's still out for the foreseeable future anyway. But they took that team out defensively. They got out physical. And like I said, they kind of just held time of possession and won the game. So the bottom part, you can probably flip a coin, between Arkansas and Notre Dame, be honest with you. But Brandon, if they had to play on a neutral field, I think Arkansas still wins that game against Notre Dame. But me and you are on the same accord when they say, a one-loss team, just because they've looked dominant or they've won games in front of them, for 4 or 5 weeks. Just because they lose a game does not necessarily mean they should be totally out of the top 10, if that makes sense.
Right.
I think Arkansas last week was like top 6 or something like that. I think they were 6, and then they played number 2 team. So now the AP poll has them like 12 or something or 11.
I have them out of my top 10.
Oh, man. Well, 11, 12. A zilch is offensive prevalent in today's game. But like I said, that's how good I think Georgia is to basically make the red hot team like Arkansas, not to be able to pull up any points, man. That says something. So again, I think we're
right.
As far as the SEC, I don't know about the national championship game just yet, how that's going to spread out with one amongst the four teams, right? But as far as SEC play is concerned, I don't foresee a Kentucky, a Florida, a Auburn, or LSU, any of those teams beating Alabama or Georgia. And I think those teams those two teams
yep.
meet each other in the SEC championship game. And I think
they both get
right in. Right now, if I said who had to be a winner of that game, based on like what they look like, I would say Georgia. Who knows what that kind of, I know I'm hedging my bet. I'm hedging what I'm saying. Who knows what that looks like, 6 weeks from now. But right now, Georgia looks to be, to me, the number one team in America.
Okay. Speaking of standings, our rankings are going to change a little bit next week. I've got number 3 and number 4 taking on each other. You've got number 4 and number 3 as well. We've actually flip-flopped. I have Iowa ahead of Penn State. You have Penn State ahead of Iowa. They play each other this weekend.
Yep.
Let me change our graphic real quick. Dismal last week. John, I went 1-6 in our picks last week. I went back to crap. Craptastic.
Damn.
But you saw I sent you a picture of that parlay I hit.
I wanted to borrow some money from you.
That was all underdogs there. Thank God. I was watching in bated breath with that Kentucky-Florida game on pins and needles at the end of that game. I had Kentucky to win that game outright, and thank God they did. Looking at our games, John, we'll get Tanner's picks at another time. Ball State on the road minus they're at Western Michigan. Western Michigan is 11-point favorite. I still haven't seen anything, any life. Well, I take that back. I saw a lot. We saw life last week from Ball State against Army. I was shocked that they beat Army. You never beat the military. Come on now, Ball State. But I've got Western Michigan covering. I think they cover this 11 against Ball State.
I'm gonna take Ball State just because, you know, it's alumni. We're the alumni show, right?
We are.
What's concerning for me about Ball?
I need to make up ground.
What's concerning about me about Ball State is that they don't have a run game. They beat Army. They beat Army with like 36 yards on the ground. I don't know how the hell that happens, man. But they beat Army with like 36 yards in rushing. They dominated in the air. So I guess you can kind of look at that and say Army was craptastic in the secondary. But again, going into MAC play where you're playing teams, more to your speed, more your level. Western Michigan has played they got blew out against Michigan. I do believe I can't remember who else they play, but I think it's going to be a little bit more even contest for Ball State. I'm shame on me from there. I picked Ball State to beat Penn State, and I knew that wasn't going to happen. So I would never pick them not to win another MAC school like Western Michigan. So I'm going with Ball State.
Okay, the Red River Shootout. Or the Red River rivalry now. I guess they don't want to use shootout. They don't want to involve guns. But Oklahoma minus 3.5 against Texas. You said Texas is back, at number 21 after they just went up and put some points up. Oh, this is always seems like a close game when these two teams play. 3.5 is the spread. I think Oklahoma is the better team, obviously.
Yep.
I think Oklahoma at least wins by 6 and covers.
If this game was playing in Oklahoma, I would say you'd be double digits. They beat Texas.
It's not at Texas. It's at the Cotton Bowl.
It's not?
No, it's always a neutral place to play at the Cotton Bowl.
Okay. All right. The problem with Oklahoma is they got a problem, Brandon, playing up to their level of competition. Right? So they like playing close little games. They'll toy with you until they get embarrassed, and then they want to remember, we got our own Heisman candidates over here as well. So then, as like I said, they kind of turn up on teams. That's kind of what happened against them against Kansas State this weekend. Kansas State looked like they was going to blow out potentially the Big 12 champion Oklahoma, but come the second half, that wasn't the case. Come second half, they was touchdowns coming from everywhere, and they wouldn't come from Kansas State. Used to catch my drift. So, has Texas looked a little bit better since the Arkansas embarrassment? Yes, but I'm still not necessarily a believer in them at all. So, I still think at some point, Brandon, that Oklahoma is going to incur a loss. But they can't. They're living on the edge. What's that old song by Aerosmith, right? Living on the edge. I would want them to lose. This will be the game to lose in the middle part of the season, right? So that you don't necessarily tumble all the way out of the top 10. You know what I mean? But I think they beat Texas, and they kind of use this win to potentially jump over Cincinnati, and maybe even jump over who loses, whatever team loses between Iowa and Penn State, and get back into the top 5.
Okay. So you're taking Oklahoma. Give me one second. Sorry, I've got sidetracked. I was going to call from work, so I'm trying to figure that out right now.
I got you.
Arkansas at Ole Miss. Spread was -6. Ole Miss trying to get back on track. Arkansas supposed to get back on track. Arkansas, we'll see if it was a fluke or not against Georgia. Ole Miss trying to get back going as well. -6. I'm going back to the train again. Give it to me.
Oh, wow. I don't know, man. I don't know if that offense is going to be able to deal with Arkansas, man. Like I said, they defensively, they just got out-muscled by Georgia. I don't think Ole Miss has the same type of muscles that Georgia has. I don't even think Alabama has the same on them. I don't want to get in trouble by the Bama fans. I don't think Alabama has the muscles that Georgia has. So I'm taking Arkansas. It'd probably be a little bit closer than what Arkansas and Coach Pittman wants it to be, but I take Arkansas to get the victory out of this weekend.
You took Arkansas. Sorry.
That's correct.
Georgia, -14.5 at Auburn. I think Auburn, Bo Nix, I think Georgia goes in there and just runs. I think they beat them by at least 17.
If they put a zero on Arkansas, they might let Auburn score three. So, yeah, man, no way Auburn's going to be able to keep up with those guys on the Georgia defensive line, man. I almost wouldn't be shocked if there's another shutout. But Auburn's a little bit better at moving the ball than what I'm kind of giving credit for. They can they show some offense when they played against Penn State, and they actually they had a little rock throwing contest this weekend against LSU, which they came out a victor. So
14.5.
They can't cover that. So take Georgia.
Okay. The big one I'm looking forward to, and I can't figure out where I want to go with this. Penn State at Iowa. Iowa's -3 at home. Man, I don't know what side to go on with this game. I'm getting points. I'm going to defer to you first. Who you like in this one? Penn State at Iowa -3.
It's on the road, so the Iowa Hawkeye crowd and the energy will be on Iowa's side early on in the game, right? Defensively, Penn State's the better team. Defensively, Penn State took out IU, you know what I'm saying? They intercepted Penix. It didn't matter who they had it. Penix, Tuttle, could have been Ramsey, could have been whoever, Trent Green. It didn't matter. They were taking balls way out of the air, you know what I'm saying? Defensively they're a better team, and like I said, they give their offense opportunity to score the ball. Rushing wise, running back wise, they're about even. They almost mirror images of one another. You know what I'm saying? They do like to grind. Iowa likes to grind it out a little bit more than Penn State on the ground. Their quarterback play with Spencer Petras, he's not necessarily as good in the air raid, if you feel me, as a modern age quarterback should be. But he's also capable. Like last week, he's also capable. He passed like 250 yards, two rushing touchdowns last week. But that was against Maryland. And like I said, their defense, like the little brother Tua, just kind of gave it up with 5 interceptions of his own in their secondary. So, but that's not how Iowa's won games throughout this season. They looked a little average against Colorado State. I look at that particular game, even though they blew the hell out, they blew the doors off of Maryland, 51-14. But against Colorado State, they was only up 10. That was the win mark, 24-14, on a team that they probably should have blew the doors off as well. You know what I'm saying? They played, you know what I'm saying, similar type of schedule. Penn State, you know what I'm saying, played the Max Lewis and Ball State. They played Villanova, who's a basketball school. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if Villanova had a football team. You know what I'm saying? So you need the strength of schedule. They kind of play, you know what I'm saying, similar teams in that regard. I just really do believe that Penn State has the better offensive talent when it comes to their quarterback. And Clifford, who's not necessarily a turnover prone kind of guy, but he's the same kind of guy that gets the job done. Offense says, here's the ball. Go out here and score for us. So I'm leaning towards, in a close game, towards Penn State. This is kind of what I saw them do against Ball State, against IU, and against Auburn. But it's going to be a rock fight for sure. But like I said, I'm leaning towards Penn State, and that's what I'm taking.
Okay. While you were explaining all that, I decided to go with Penn State as well. If I'm going to get the points, I think Penn State overall is the better team. I think they've played a hell of a lot harder schedule than Iowa has so far. I'm a big fan of Clifford, and this is kind of James Franklin's, hey, you know, I have much more faith in James Franklin and Penn State throughout the rest of the season than I do Kurt Ferentz and Iowa, if that makes sense. The playmakers on both sides of the ball who I have faith in with it. So I've got Penn State as well in that one. Notre Dame -1 at Virginia Tech. Give me the Hokies, Enter Sandman, the Blackout.
Oh,
I'll take the Hokies.
Oh, hurt me. I didn't think the ACC school outside of Clemson had a chance to beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame has horrible this is what I'm saying. They have horrible offensive line play, which, you know what I'm saying, historically, that's not how they've been. You know what I'm saying?
It's a night game, too. So that is a night game in Blacksburg's a hell of a lot different from a Saturday afternoon game.
Virginia, I feel like Virginia Tech has already won their Super Bowl game, though, Brandon, when they were ranked like they beat North Carolina, man. They haven't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, scared anybody since. If Notre Dame didn't have such crappy line play, it would be hands down them to just basically go in there and beat Virginia Tech like 28-14, two touchdowns type situation. What's the line? Tell me the line one more time.
Notre Dame minus one.
Nah, I think they're better than that though. So I think Notre Dame gets the job done.
Okay. And last game of the week, since Purdue and IU are both off this week, Alabama minus 17.5 at Texas A&M. This is a game back when college football started I thought would be a close one and a prove-it game for Texas A&M.
They lied to.
But they're down 17.5. Alabama is give me the Roll Tide to roll in College Station.
Man, Jimbo Fisher is a snake oil salesman, ain't he? He got two big contracts from leaving Florida State. He come over here to Texas A&M. He bitched and complained. I'm sorry. I don't know if you can say that on the podcast, but he bitched and complained about Texas coming over because he thought he was going to be the lone Texas team, you know what I'm saying, the cock of the walk, you know what I'm saying, the walk as far as Texas team. And that was preseason. They said it was baloney, but you know what I'm saying, where the smoke does fire. Again, man, that was last week's game against Mississippi State, the game that they should have put a stamp on. And, you know, going to this one, man, I think this is going to be more of the same. I think by halftime I'll be tuned out because Alabama will be so far ahead. Defensively, they can keep up with Alabama. Offensively, they don't have the ponies to keep up with Alabama. They don't. So they'll stop Alabama here, there. You know what I'm saying? They'll you know what I'm saying? They might even give a little sack. Maybe can get an interception or two. Maybe not. That's it, two. No, maybe one. But be honest with you, it's not even close. Take Alabama.
Okay. Perfect. That's our college football picks. We'll get Tanner's and put him on there later this week when he is available. About 20 minutes left in the show, John. One couple things I have left to hit. Shout out. Also, a quick happy birthday. Friend of the program, Brandon Brantley. Happy birthday to him. The Boilermakers, ranked number five in the preseason polls in the country. Number two in the Big Ten behind Michigan. John, as our other friend of the program, JMV, said this morning, man, this is it. This is the best chance Purdue's had in a long time to make some noise for a Final Four. You got to feel like it's Final Four or bust for this squad. Anything less is not a successful season for the Boilers.
Yeah, and there's also talk, there's also talk about Jaden Ivey being a lottery pick, right?
Yeah.
So that also that also kind of, you know what I'm saying, adds more pressure to getting it done because he probably potentially might be out of there because, you know, so the college, again, we do have pay-per-play. But we do have, you know what I'm saying, name, image, likeness in college basketball, but it ain't compared, nothing kind of compares to an NBA check that you could probably potentially get as a rookie, right, as a potential lottery pick. So shame on me, Brandon. I haven't necessarily deep dived too much into the local basketball, whether it be Ball State, IU, Purdue, or even Ball State, as far as like where, you know what I'm saying, I put their, you know what I'm saying, the schedules out and just kind of seen like who they play, because you know, Purdue plays. They play people. They play North Carolina this year in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. So they're not necessarily – and they play Indiana State as well. And they play – I think that Butler game didn't necessarily go away. It's kind of – it's not – I think they play Butler. I'm pretty sure. But, again, they play some – it's not cupcakes, basically what I'm trying to say. It's not a lot of cupcakes on their preseason schedule. So and then, as you know, they'll get into their Big Ten play where they have to play Michigan and Michigan State and potentially whatever IU looks like this year, sans Archie Miller. So, I'm rooting for him because, you know, obviously Coach Brantley is a personal friend of ours. We used to work for him along. We worked with him 100 years ago at that old Big Blue on the west side, BBY on the west side, so many years ago. And he's been a guest here on the show a couple times where we, you know what I'm saying, talked about hoops and whatnot. You got to be almost – you got to be good and lucky to navigate, to win not only your conference, but to also navigate through the Final Four tournament, man. So
yeah.
I think they're good enough. I think they are good enough for sure, because now they have a lot, now they don't have freshmen learning curve. They don't have a sophomore still making mistakes. They got they got a team that's laden with juniors, seniors, and sophomores. So there you go. Now the only part they need now is the luck. Now the Emmy. They are good enough. They won't have no bigger fans here than me and you on Crossroads Sports for sure. So we'll
absolutely,
see. We shall see.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Boiler up. I still think. Shout out my nationally wise. Besides the Boilermakers, Duke. This is Coach K's year. Come on now, people. We've got that. By the way, John Shire, the recruiting class that he's putting together for next year. Look out. I'm just saying. That's a pretty scary recruiting class coming in. And by the way, I started getting chirped already from your Crimson and Cream people over the weekend. Uh-oh. Because I may or may not have put a tweet out there that says, man, I still have a problem to this day with grown ass men, adults wearing candy stripe fucking pants.
Hey, man. Zeke wore the candy stripe. It's okay. Isaiah Thomas had on the candy stripe this past weekend at Midnight Madness, so it's okay. If you want to wear candy stripes, more power to you.
Grown ass men wearing candy stripe pants. Come on now, come on.
Doc is worthy.
I know. That's why I said I have a problem. Him and Isaiah Thomas. What Isaiah Thomas coming out of the woodworks, boy? That's, yeah. Come on now. Come on. That's all I got on that. Yeah, they came after me on Twitter for a little bit, but I was okay. I'm a man. I can take it. Last two things I have, John, we'll finish on NBA. But I got to ask you.
Oh, man.
How caught up are you?
Yeah, how caught up am I on The Walking Dead?
Yes.
I'm so caught up, I've watched The Sopranos, The Many Saints of Newark, like four times. So I'm not caught up. I'm not caught up at all. I'm not sure. I don't know. Are you a fan of the old Soprano show? Did you come on HBO?
No, never watched it.
Okay. Damn, Brandon. No, man,
I know. It's on the list.
I got you. Where you going to New York, man? You got to know about, mafia and Italian, gangster culture.
I'll have Italian dinner with them when I'm there.
Okay. Well, you better.
Hey, I watched the last episode. I know what happens in the last episode, so I just got to watch everything leading up to it.
Got you. Nah, man, by the showtime next week, I will be caught up on Walking Dead.
That's like four episodes you got to catch up on.
Dude, I ain't got no, that's fine. That's fine.
You missed a lot. I mean, John, I'm not telling you. We got, I think there's one more episode before the mid-season finale. I believe one or two episodes left. But
well, I
you
know
missed
Rick
a lot.
Came back. Yeah, and that's the only,
well,
that's the only
thing I are you sure?
Yeah, Twitter, I feel like Twitter or my Yahoo mail would have told me Rick was back.
Hey, but I got a true question.
Go ahead.
You have to know this Pope character, right? Where does this guy rank? I mean, I guess you haven't seen him in action and just how ruthless he is, but if you're ranking the villains between the governor and Negan and the Pope and some of these villains that we've had in this show, like,
You tell him he's up there. You tell him he's up there with Alpha and the governor.
I'm telling you, John. This guy, he tells his followers, go down there, and if he dies, oh well, he's worth it. This guy is more about war against everybody than trying to bring people in or whatever. This is a general great villain. Great villain. You got to catch up because you'll see it. Next week's show, I need a full recap from you on your thoughts on him and where he ranks as a villain. Or if you get it done beforehand, we could talk off air. I don't care. So
No, I'll be caught up for sure.
Oh, we got a phone call. We'll take this. The leader of the Notre Shame bandwagon, the Notre Shame, Reggie Sykes. What happened?
So that's where we're starting off at today. That's
what
we're doing.
What happened?
That's what we're doing.
What happened?
I mean, that's what we're doing. Is that what we're doing? I just want to know that's what we're doing. Is that what we're doing?
Cincinnati's
a good team. I didn't think they would show up for a big moment, but they evidently they did. I underestimated them a little bit. And
my
maybe
man comes in here.
Consideration for the first five. I'm not like these. I can admit when I'm wrong. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything when you're still in first place in the Pick'em League. The only reason your name is first is because
we're tied
of your name. But I'm really in first.
Jonathan's
and,
missing a week.
Yeah, he missed The Walking Dead. Boy, that's a great show. I'm all caught up on that. That dude Pope is kind of
loco,
but I don't
he
think
is
he's
crazy.
Worse than Negan. I don't think he's worse than Negan, though, man. Negan, you know, killed this lady's husband in front of her.
Yep.
You know, and now he's, you know, playing with her mind. You know, like they want to make them get in a love affair a little bit or something. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm a little confused about that one, you know. But, yeah, I hate this is going to be the last season for that show. They got a couple of other ones that they get out there that are pretty good also. But my coach won. The Yankees
did.
The Yankees lost last night.
What are we taking tonight? What are we thinking?
You know who I'm taking tonight. I wasn't going to make a bet. But I posted three different bets, and all of them got the Dodgers win. Okay.
I took the under. I took the under 7.5.
I took the over.
Two good pitchers.
And I started to take the under. Yeah, and I thought last night was going to be the over. I thought the Yankees would have put up more runs. But
yeah.
I think the Yankees were out of it after that two-run home run in the first inning. And who was that started out on the mound for Boston? He was on fire. I mean, that one guy hit the home run, but he was on. Who was the pitcher for the Red Sox? I can't think of it. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Olivalli?
Yes.
Olivalli.
Fire.
You
and
can hear him throw.
And then the rest of the pitching staff was, I mean, when you get to the playoffs, you're hitting everything to get it done. But you really have to have an excellent bullpen. It's about your bullpen in the playoffs
right.
and World Series. And I rank the Dodgers' bullpen as one of the best. And I say that the Dodgers are going to repeat. You heard it here first.
I put money on them in a bet early in the season. I got a profit boost from the winning World Series, but I took it. So I took it. So we'll see.
And man, I forgot to make that profit book bet. But let me tell
the
you
one
something,
I
man.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
I know, because I know you're short on time, so I'm skipping all over the place.
No, you're good.
Alabama should be the number two team in the nation. Georgia should be number one. They're the most complete team in college football. Georgia should be number one.
I got them number one.
Alabama should be number two. You know, I just don't really see anybody beating Notre Dame, if you really want to know the truth. I just don't see it. You know?
Yeah. You mean Georgia?
I don't see anybody beating Georgia. I think Alabama can be beat. And they may be beat. You know, it's a strong possibility.
But,
you know what,
Reggie? There's some people still out here that think that Ohio State somehow going to wiggle their way back into the national championship game. And it's going to be them and Alabama. And I don't think – I think the Big Ten is too tightly contested between Iowa, Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. Somebody's going to lose a game, if not one
Michigan,
of those, you know,
Michigan won't,
two games.
Michigan won't be there in the end. I mean, this is Michigan. This is this is Michigan. Michigan won't be there. Michigan won't be there. But Ohio State may not be there either. I mean, Penn and Iowa, did Iowa win this week? I didn't remember checking that score. Did Iowa win
this
week?
They won this past weekend, yeah. Yeah, they blew out.
Man, I'm telling you, Iowa and Penn State, man, they're looking – damn good, man.
Well, they play one another. Reggie, I got a question before we get you off, man. How is the coach gonna corral Lamar Jackson this weekend?
Really, my run defense doesn't really scare me. I think we've been adequate in that. What really scares me is our offensive line, because Carson Wentz, people trying to put the blame on Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz hasn't played bad. It's been injuries along the offensive line not holding up.
Right.
I truly believe that. I'm not going to put this in Carson Wentz. Like, in the end, his wide receivers hadn't been getting a lot of separation either. You know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
That touchdown pass, Mar Ali Cox, he was covered. He was just covered by a little older guy. You know? Colts going to win in a close one, 24-21. And I realize the game's in Baltimore, and I realize I'm a homer. But I just think that Baltimore is going to overlook us, and we're going to win this game.
Reggie, get your bet in now. It's +7, but it's going to go down to about 6.5 or 6. So get your 7 while you can.
I appreciate that, and I know y'all pressed for time. Hey, I'm gonna press my. I'm gonna show you my bets that I made. Either I'll post them on my page or I'll post them on Crossroads Sports page on Twitter or something. Or I'll tag you on Twitter.
Okay.
I'll post them.
That'll work,
all right,
Reg.
Hey, fellas. Sorry I've been missing in action, man. I had an auntie had a stroke and been dealing with a few things with the family. But I'm going to try to get back in touch and start listening again. I just had a few things, man. So keep my family in prayers, man. Keep me in prayers, man. And as always, I enjoy the show.
Thanks, Reg.
Right.
Take care, buddy. All right, Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls. Great to have him call in, get his take. Hey, he agrees with you, and Georgia should be the #1 team. I ain't going to complain about it. I got to pick to go to the national title. So,
right.
How cold-blooded is the NBA right now, man? The Pacers, middle of the game last night against the Knicks. They make a trade. Somebody's got a torn ACL, Edmund Sumner. Cold-blooded traded and then dropped and waived.
I didn't even know, Brandon, I didn't even know you could trade injured players. That used to
I didn't know it either.
Yeah, you couldn't trade injured players, and evidently maybe that got changed in the last collective bargaining agreement or whatever, man. But, yeah, Evan Sumner trade. Basically, what I'm understanding, it was a to stay out of the luxury tax move.
Correct. And we signed Brad Wanamaker to a cheap deal.
Yeah.
Which I liked him in Boston.
He's good. All right, anybody remembers him? He played for Pitt in that Pitt battle against Butler. From several years ago, man, he was one of the key players for Pitt. But like, nah, man, Cobra, I mean, you know, there's another thing I want to talk about. Pacers, the Pacers is cutting, you know what I'm saying, cutting salary, you know what I'm saying, to not get guaranteed contracts. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not trading for Ben Simmons. I'm in a couple other sports groups, man. There was a rumor on the NBA rumor about the Pacers potentially trading for Ben Simmons. That ain't happening. They ain't that mad at Miles Turner just yet to be traded for Ben Simmons.
What's your thoughts on Chris Duarte? Duarte had 15 last night, played 20 minutes, 5 of 11 from the field, 5 assists, 15 points, led the Pacers.
Right, he ain't gun shy. You can tell that. And he got a nice little, got like, you know, some mature game, kind of like what I thought he would. A 24-year-old rookie. You know, the more he plays, the more his maturation happens, you know what I'm saying, instead of, you know what I'm saying, you know, he'll obviously hit a rookie raw probably after 30 games because there's a disparity in, like, how many games a college player plays versus how many games an actual NBA player plays, you know what I mean? But if they need him we're going to need bodies because the Pacers are like, basically going to be a mass unit kind of going into the season with LeVert potentially being out, Warren being out, and who God knows whoever else is going to be out, right? It's good to see somebody like him, you know what I'm saying, ready for action. I mean, because this ain't summer league. You know what I mean? This is you know what I mean? I get it. LeBron wasn't out there or, you know what I'm saying, Durant went out there, whoever. But it's good to see him not necessarily look like a rookie.
Right. Okay. Pacers' first preseason game, they got destroyed by the Knicks, but it's okay. We'll see what happens. Preseason, just getting everybody hustling. Knicks-wise, though, I mean, they played a lot of their guys a lot more per minute. R.J. Barrett played 25, right? 30. Pacers starters, nobody played more than 20 minutes, so if that tells you anything. But they kind of played it like they needed to. R.J. Barrett had 17. Randall had 20. Kemba Walker had 12. Derrick Rose had 8. I kind of like this Knicks team a little bit, so I'm kind of excited to go see them play in December. Melo got his first Lakers action tonight. The Lakers played a midseason game or a midseason game, excuse me, a midday game right now in Phoenix. It's weird watching them play on a Phoenix Mercury court. They didn't change the court over, which is weird. Yeah, Melo's getting some action in.
Well, they got a game. Yeah, they got this is a WNBA game tonight. I think it is in Phoenix. I think the Aces play the Mercury tonight, so that's probably why.
Oh, so they're playing right afterwards then. Nice.
Probably, yeah.
Nice, yeah.
We're in game five territory coming up.
Lakers are getting destroyed. They're down 31 in the fourth. And LeBron, AD, and Russ were all playing.
Well, tomorrow Twitter will be on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, not all of them are playing. Excuse me, Russ did not play tonight, I don't believe. So.
Gotcha.
And they're playing little minutes. But we'll see what happens. Other than that, John, we got MLB playoffs tonight. I'll be watching that. Dodgers, Cardinals will be a great one. And then tomorrow afternoon, we start the actual postseason.
Yeah, tomorrow we got baseball. Tomorrow we got, you know what I'm saying, another Thursday night football.
Rams, Seahawks.
To be a sports fan, this is the time to be. We got WNBA. We got all the sports, all the major sports are being recognized or are going right now, going strong right now. So I'm sure we'll have our eyes, ears, and whatever else, other senses on it, man. I'll be tapped in, flicking channels probably, and of course I'll be, like I said, Brandon, I promise I'll make up and I'll watch the four episodes of Walking Dead that I'm behind. But like,
that's right.
Man,
by the way, I've been told I don't, but Tamika, let me tell you, don't hate on the Lake Show, man. They'll be just fine. Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
They will be fine.
I'm already crowning them champs.
Uh-oh.
So that's all I got, John. I go ahead and wrap us up, my guy.
No, man, we had we got some great interactions on our Facebook Live page. If you haven't, you know what I'm saying, done so, please, man, you know what I'm saying, Facebook, at least on our part, ain't dangerous, you know what I'm saying? So anybody listening to our broadcast, please come to the Crossroads Facebook page, and you know what I'm saying? Me and Brandon and I co-broadcast, you know what I'm saying, the podcast on Facebook Live. You can chime in with everybody else. So shout out to Tamika for her Laker fandom. I also want to say shout out to Craig Ryan. You know what I'm saying? He was on a little bit earlier. He's the biggest Packer fan that I know. And I also know JP, you know what I'm saying, Diamond fan, Diamond Certified Plus fan. Justin Pye was on there talking about Road Tie this, Road Tie that, man. Outside of that, man, I want to thank Sweet Lou from the Enhanced Sports Show. Yeah, he's our homie. You know what I'm saying, for calling in. We also want to say thank you to for Reggie, you know what I'm saying, King Control, friend of the program, for calling in. We'll probably catch up sometime next week with Fel Felder from the KFAB Connection and whatnot. But, like, no, man, we had a great show. I want to say thank you to Maverick Custom Motorsports, to our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, our other sponsors, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, and our latest sponsor, Three Wiseman Logistics. That's Wiseman with an E for making this all happen for us, to Crossroads for happen for us, man. Great. We're going to have some great more great commercials kind of come up, so you ain't got to hear me fumble over my words and fumble over, you know what I'm saying, running and me super excited about our new sponsor and whatnot. But, like, man, great show. You know what I'm saying? Thanks, Brandon, man, for kind of keeping us all together and kind of keeping running the boards and kind of keeping me on pace, man. So outside of that, man, everybody, tune in next week, man. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.